Relationships rule. That's my motto. I'm Janice Porter, and I love to share the power of relationship marketing to help grow and impact business. I've grown my business by building and nurturing relationships, and I'd like to help you do the same. Welcome to the Relationships Rule podcast, where connection means everything. So today we're talking about living with purpose, performing at a high level, and the relationships that shape our journey along the way. My guest is Jimmy Page, a leadership and human performance expert, speaker, and author of several books, including One Word. He's, I think, 10x'd his author status, so I know he's got a lot of books out there. Jimmy helps individuals and organizations live what he calls an unstoppable life by focusing on purpose, health, mindset, and leadership. There's also a special relationship connection behind this conversation, as Jimmy was introduced to me by a previous guest, Coach Jim Johnson. And when Coach Jim recently reconnected with Jimmy, he realized that Jimmy had once been one of the high school basketball players he had coached. That kind of full circle moment reminds us just how powerful and lasting relationships can be. Jimmy, welcome to the show.
Oh, Janice, great to be here. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. It's always interesting to me how one leads to another, to another, to another. And I love that. And I don't know if you know that when I was introduced to Coach Jim, there were so many parallels to my husband, although my husband never quite made the provincial championship. He was that close, like Coach Jim was for a while. But as a high school coach, basketball coach, he was revered by a lot of kids, and that went on into adulthood. So it's really kind of special to see someone like that. So that to me was really, really an interesting connection that you have with him. But let's start with the idea that has impacted so many people. Your one word philosophy. How did it begin? Tell me about that a little bit.
Sure. You know, about 27 years ago now, Dan Britton and I, my co-author, and then our third co-author, John Gordon, we were kind of doing life together. And at the time, we really wanted to maximize our life. You know, we knew intuitively that you only get one shot at this.
Yes.
And we wanted to take advantage of it and make it the most productive, most impactful that it could be. And at the time, we were writing New Year's resolutions every year. Every single year, we create a game plan. And if you could see, I wish I had saved some of these, but we had lists upon lists of things that we were going to get done. You know, and people can relate to this, right?
Yeah.
These are all the things that we're going to get done this year. And inevitably, like most people, it didn't take very long to to lose focus and to have some frustration and failure. And then by the time you realized you were off track, you had completely lost track of what you were going to accomplish for the year. So we were challenged by a friend to narrow our focus to one single word for the year, to kind of create a one word theme and to drive towards positive life change, you know, see how that word might change you from the inside out. Mm-hmm. And I was really intrigued by that, Janice, because you know, the to-do list, everyone gets worn out by the to-do list.
Yeah.
And, but boy, when you talk about a to-be list, you know, let's say my word for the year was peace. I want to be a man of peace. I want to experience peace even in the middle of a storm. All of a sudden you're changing your own DNA.
Yeah. That's.
Yeah. And what we discovered was we really focused more on who we were becoming rather than what we were doing. And that was like a breath of fresh air for us, to be honest.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Actually, it made you smile. It made me smile as soon as you started to talk about, oh, it's about being, not doing. And then the pressure is kind of different.
Yes.
Feels like it takes the pressure off. I don't know that it actually does, but you see it through different lenses, through a different lens, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you enter the year with a positive expectation for the ways your life is going to change in a measurable way, you know? So for me, we talked about the six dimensions of life, you know, kind of your mental, emotional, physical, relational was a big one, spiritual, and even financial. And we said, hey, what if this one single word could have broad impact on all aspects of our life? And then you start to look for it, right?
Yes.
And we know the power of your mindset. You know, I do a whole program called Reset Your Mindset, and it talks about you find what you focus on. You know, you actually get what you expect. So when we enter the new year with this positive expectation around a single word, which, by the way, Remembering one word instead of 15 resolutions.
Yes, for sure. You know, I did that for a while, and I'm just thinking I didn't do it this year, and I'm not sure why. But I remember last year's word. I did do that. It was rise, and yeah, and it was me wanting to rise in different areas of my life, so I know exactly what you're talking about. I'm not sure why I didn't go with it this year, with a word. I must have something must have been going on at the end of the year or something. I don't know, but the other piece to that I thought was really interesting, and I do want to, I think I have to get this book, and it's the one you did for children. Talk to me about that. How did that come to be? It's one word for kids, right? Is that what the book's, yeah.
One word for kids, and it's really it chronicles the story of a little boy in a school and his journey to his journey, not only his but his teachers and his classmates' journey to find their words, their one word for the year. And these kids kind of go into the school year kind of wishing they were on summer break.
Yeah.
And the teacher was like, "Hey, no, but we're going to have the greatest year ever because you're going to pick a word for the year. It's going to help you be your best." And they all were like, "Well, what word is it?" And we take them through the journey. It is absolutely my favorite book.
Oh, really? Because
Oh my
for me,
gosh.
I'm a children's, like I was a teacher, and I have my granddaughter now that I can bring into this fold. But what age group is that aimed at?
It's really, I would say, kind of 4 to 10, four to
Yeah,
nine, four
okay.
to ten,
Okay.
And so it's kind of that early school age, and what we discovered was kids intuitively know what word they want for the year.
Really? Really?
Maybe, I think as adults, we've got a lot of baggage in the way to
Oh yeah,
discover.
there's so no filters, and it's yeah, it's easier. I am going to test it with my granddaughter because she's 6 and a half.
Oh,
But
perfect.
yeah, so we'll see where it goes. But we do a lot of the I am statements, the affirmations and things like that. But this yeah, it'll be interesting. Her birthday's in July, and I think that's probably a good time to do it,
Yeah,
actually. Is
it's
it?
perfect.
Yeah.
I mean, we've seen it done throughout the year. I would say that the most intuitive times of year is around the new year, and
Yes.
then it's during the school year for sure.
Yes. Oh, start of school. Yeah.
And then we've had just incredible success kind of linking back to Coach Johnson with teams. I mean, we've rolled this out with literally thousands and thousands of teams at every level, from middle school to high school, college, professional, all the way to Olympics.
Love it.
And that singular focus really gives people the what they need to be
Well,
really
you
dialed
can
in.
draw them back by reminding them of that word, right? If they, yeah, that's very cool. Well, on that note, do you have any like one story that sticks out for you that with a team or a company or whatever that you taught this process to, and that something major or magic happened?
I think one of the stories kind of at that collegiate level, that team level, is at the University of Virginia.
Okay.
And this was in probably, I think, 2017. The team was the best team in the country. They were going into the
Wait, oh, but
NCAA
was it
tournament.
basketball? It was basketball. Okay, yeah.
Best basketball team in the country. They were going into March Madness, which is the tournament here. And they were the number one seed. They played the number 16 seed in their bracket. A number one seed had never lost to a 16 seed
Right,
ever,
right, right.
and they
Oh
did.
my goodness.
And the coach, Tony Bennett, who's probably one of the greatest coaches that ever lived, just a great man, cared about his players, great man of God. He knew he was at a crossroads. Like, hey, this team could fall apart. This is embarrassing, and everybody knew it was embarrassing. And he said, "What are we going to do for next year?" And he said, "Hey, we're going to have all the players select their one word for the year," which they did every year. And then he said, "Hey, let's create a team word that will keep us together." And they all weighed in on this, and they chose the word family. And he, you could see their shirts. They had their warm-up jerseys had family across the front, and it really reminded them that, listen. Families go through hard times, and how do families respond to hard times? Well, they come together. They root for each other. They believe the best in each other. And then that season, 2018, again, best team in the country, playing the 16th seed in their bracket. This time they win, but not only do they win that game, but they win the entire tournament. And I think that shows the power of focus that
Oh,
creates
wow. Who are
unity
they playing in the
on teams.
final?
I don't even remember who
Oh,
they
okay.
played.
Because
And it
we
doesn't
do.
matter because they won.
No, it doesn't matter, but I'm just curious because we do March Madness
Oh,
here.
yeah.
Yeah, we do. But yeah,
Great.
great story. Great
Yeah.
story. Did the how many of those members of that team were back in that year? Like how many had
They
they?
had a event. I think the majority of their kids were back.
Okay.
Yeah, the
Okay. So.
majority of their kids were back, and which was, which was great because they had lived through the disappointment of that season and then had turned it
Sure.
around the next year, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's a very cool story. Thank you for sharing that. So I loved the story about Coach Jim Johnson realizing that he, or I think he was, you can tell me the story of how you two reconnected because it was after what, 40 years, 40, 30 years,
It's
20
hard to
years?
admit how long it's been. Yes.
Okay.
This is.
And I want to know what that moment meant to you and what it says about the long-term impact of relationships.
Yeah. Well, Coach Johnson, he was my JV coach in high school.
Okay.
And then he was the assistant coach for our varsity program
Right.
when I moved up. So,
Okay.
and we won a couple championships during that era. I remembered him early, for years and years as just one of the best coaches that I had ever been around. Really cared about people. Wasn't your typical yell and scream coach,
Yeah.
He was kind of a new style coach way back then. And we had not kept in touch at all. I had followed the Greece Athena program, which is where I went to school, and I had seen that he had had some notoriety around playing the one of his players who had autism, J-Mac.
J
Of
Mac,
course, it's a very famous story, and I'm sure he mentioned
It's
it.
20 years ago this year.
Yeah, which is amazing. So I saw all of that, but we had never reconnected. And just recently, over the last 3, 4, or 5 months, we reconnected. He got introduced to the One Word book, and then the person that introduced him to that connected him with my co-author Dan.
Okay.
And then Jim was like, wait a minute. He saw the book with Jimmy Page and he goes, is that the same guy? So then he reached out to me, we got reconnected, and
I
it
love
has
it.
been, honestly, it's been the highlight of, it was definitely one of the highlights of 2025, was
Oh.
reconnecting with a coach after really 40 years.
Yeah, isn't that lovely? That's so cool.
Yeah.
So, can I share a little story? I'd like to,
Sure.
on that same note, my daughter was going to Brazil on business to São Paulo, however you say it, Paulo. And she said to us, "Do we know anybody there?" And I said, "I don't know. I think we do. I think a player that Vern used to, my dad, your dad used to coach, lives there. Let me check." And I looked on LinkedIn and we were connected. And sure enough, he's in São Paulo. And we connected him and my daughter. And he said, "Oh, have her call me when she gets here," because she was coming on the weekend. She didn't know anybody there before her meeting started. And he took her to an amazing restaurant for lunch. They had a, great picture taken so he could send it back to my husband. And he also said, because he had come from Brazil for 1 year to Canada in his grade 12 year, and he played basketball that year for my husband, and it was amazing. It was one of his best teams, and he went to the school that my husband taught at, and so that was just 1 year. But those memories were so good for him that he wants his daughter, who's now in grade 12, to come to the same place. She's a volleyball player. His son is a basketball player, but is younger. But that experience meant so much to him that
Yeah.
he wants it to, yeah. So it was really cool.
It's
And
amazing.
yeah, and it kind of speaks to the long-term impact of relationships in your life. Even though you don't see the person or maybe not even talk to them, it's there as soon as it's
That's right.
reconnected or rekindled, right? Which is
That's right.
so important. And I love that. Okay. I know that you also talk about living an unstoppable life, and that's what you do in your coaching and your leadership training. What role would you say that health mindset and relationships play then in sustaining that kind of unstoppable life?
Well, it's interesting. You were talking about generational connections, right? You're talking about year-over-year relationships. And I do think, just to tie that one point down, I think sport in particular, you know, participation in sport, the relationship with a coach is so unique. The
It
relationship
is.
with your teammates is because, you know, you suffer together.
Yeah.
You have shared suffering and shared success. And
Yeah.
I think those are two ingredients, truthfully, that really forge the best relationships, regardless of whether it's in team sports or whether it's in your family. You know, the things that bind you are when you can go through hard things together
Yeah.
and emerge on the other side of that, or you can celebrate successes together. And, you know, we have a saying in our family, like, hey, when one page wins, we all win. You
Yeah,
know,
that's
it,
yeah,
and
very
we
cool.
celebrate a lot. So if somebody puts something in the group chat about success they've had, we will say every time, hey, when one page wins, we all win. We're celebrating, you know. And
Yeah.
so I think there's something really important about the relationships. If you have a healthy mindset, and I talk a lot about mindset, right? Because real life transformation starts in your mind. If you know, in fact, I believe that real transformation starts in the renewing of the way you think. So if you don't get control of your thinking will control you. There's no doubt about it. You have to take control of the inner conversation that you have and make it serve you rather than you being controlled by that narrative. What we've learned is that 80% of people's internal dialogue is negative, according to
Right.
science. That's pretty bad
A
news.
little person on your shoulder all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. And it's almost always negative. And
Yep.
95% of the conversation is repetitive. So you're essentially reinforcing negativity in your life over and over and over again. It's very hard to have healthy relationships if you don't fix your mindset, if you don't really work on the way you think, because your natural neurologically connected response is almost always negative,
Yeah.
complaining, blaming somebody else, making
Yeah.
excuses.
How do
So if
you?
you can go to work, you know, you'll make a big difference.
Okay, so you go in front of groups of people and you talk about that, or you work with people one on one and you talk about that, but you can talk till you're blue in the face. Something has to snap for them. It has to be, is it when they're at their lowest, or is it just they're tired, you know, they're just sick and tired of being sick and tired? Is it do you ever, like, do you notice when the light goes on for someone, and what's usually happening?
Yeah, I do exercises in my workshops and
Okay.
keynotes, so people can experience the power of their mind, the power of focus. And so they see it, they feel it right away. And they
Okay.
laugh about it because they're like, wow, okay, I knew that, but now I really
Yes.
know it. And, you know, if I ask people, hey, how many of you think that over half of your internal dialogue is positive? I want you to stand up. I will tell you, most people stand.
Yeah, okay.
And then when I prove it to them that most of their dialogue is negative, they're like, okay, I'm going to listen to this guy, because they overestimate their own positivity. But what we know is the people that are most successful in life, that are most successful in relationships, that enjoy life most, are the ones that actually work on their mental game as much as they do any other aspect of their game. So if it's in business, you know, we're all growing in some way, shape, or form, right? We're reading leadership books and we're working on that. We also, if we're in any kind of physical competition, we'll train our bodies to be healthy. But very, very few people actually work on rewiring their brain.
Right.
And so when I take them through exercises that actually will rewire their brain, and I show them neurologically how it happens, like, you can't help but have light bulbs go on. Now, whether or not you're going to do the work, and by the way,
Yeah.
I give them tools and exercises that if they do them, I guarantee you their mindset and their way of thinking will change over time, because neurologically they're rewiring their brain. And once they can, if they can get a little momentum, do it for a week, do it for 2 weeks, they see a little momentum, then they become believers pretty quickly.
So, who do you generally work with?
Well, I work with companies, large and small.
Okay.
I work with executive teams. I work with leadership teams. I work with any sports-related teams, of course, coaches and athletes. But any business of any size. So anything from entrepreneurs to seasoned business vets. I, you know, if I gave you my, you know, some people on my client list, you go, oh, I know them. Oh, I know that, you know, because I really like to work with high performers because they get it and they will implement what you're telling them right away, and they get better fast. You know, a lot of times if you have an underperforming group, people that chronically underperform are generally, oh boy, they don't have the toughness to stick it out. And so you have, and I'm not there to motivate them beyond that. But if you can change the culture of the organization, then you've got a real chance at transforming individual lives for sure, and the team.
So you have to start at the top.
No, not necessarily.
No?
No,
Okay.
it's like any other relationship or any other leadership. You know, you might find yourself at the bottom of the ladder, so to speak, and you may find yourself even frustrated by the people that you're reporting to. Maybe they're not great leaders. Maybe they manipulate, or maybe they're passive aggressive, whatever. But what we teach people at the bottom of the ladder, so to speak, is you can lead up. And the best way to lead up is to lead by example and to continue to bring your very, very best, regardless of the leadership that's above you. So, you know, for me, you know, I will never blame someone else for my inability to become my best. They don't hold that power. They don't
And
hold
you
that.
know what? You've got to package that, like, and
Yeah.
that's the thing right there, because
Yeah.
I know when I talk to people that, well, I'm thinking of somebody in particular, that you want to help to get
Yeah.
over that negativity that's
Yeah.
constant, and you can't do it for them.
Yeah.
It's very frustrating, and you want to help, but you can't,
Yeah.
you know,
Yeah.
except to model something different, I suppose.
Yeah, and in that case, you know, like part of it is you can't help everybody, like you said. You know, I've been around people that I've given them the tools, tried to hold them accountable, and they just, for one reason or another, self-sabotage. Generally, people like that need to bottom out before they can be resurrected, so to speak.
That's true.
And I don't spend a lot of time with people like that anymore because I want to spend 99.9% of my time with people that are actually going to do things and become the type of man or woman that they're made to be. Because then you have multiplication effect, you know, when people are actually making forward progress.
So I also noticed in your bio that you have been a Spartan racer.
Yeah.
Tell me about that, 'cause that takes a lot.
Yeah, it's a great for those who aren't familiar with it, Spartan racing is obstacle course racing.
With a lot
So
of mud, I
essentially,
think, no?
oh yeah. Oh yeah, there's a lot of mud. Yeah. The mud is more for the mental fatigue than anything else. It is a physical barrier, but boy, oh boy. So I would say that Spartan racing, obstacle course racing like that is really designed for mental toughness, physical toughness, and then I would say relational community for sure. And so for me, it's a way to continue to get outside of my comfort zone, to push far beyond my limits or the limiting beliefs that I may have, to continue as I get older to prove what I'm made of and what I have inside of me, to create tests that make me better. You know, you can't forge steel without really hot fire. So I like putting myself in environments that are really super hard, challenging myself in that way, and then getting other people to do it as well.
Well, I think that kind of speaks to you walking the walk, because you're testing yourself and your limits, and as you try to teach others to do the
Yeah.
same. Do you have children?
Yes. Yeah, I've got four kids. They're all grown.
And
Yep.
did they did they would you say they're a chip off the old block, or would you say that you they're still works in progress?
Oh man, I mean they're each uniquely amazing in the way that they've been created, you know. So I would say that if you ask people that know my kids, they would tell you exactly the qualities that they got from me and from their mom, and we'd have a good laugh about it. You know, I think for them, I'm really proud of each one of them. They're four, three boys and a girl. My daughter's the baby, she's 23. And my oldest son is 31, then 29, 26. So, you know, they have, I think they've kind of, they've learned that they're made with a purpose. We're a family of faith. We raised our kids in a Christian home, so we've got very, very deep, abiding faith. We believe that God created them with incredible purpose. And part of their life is to discover the unique ways that they're made and then do things that they're passionate about, that they love doing. And if they can do that, they're going to live a life that's rich and satisfying and meaningful. So I think each one of them knows that, hey, you've got one shot at this, make the most of it. And along the way, if you're honoring God, then you're probably going to hit the target with people relationally as well.
Okay, I'll accept that. Do you have grandkids? Any grandkids?
No grandkids yet.
Okay, well, that's a whole different story, I got to tell you, and it's the best. For someone who's listening, who feels scattered or pulled in too many directions, how would you suggest they begin discovering their word? I'm going to go back to the one word. How do they find a way to discover their one word?
This is the beauty of the process. So in the book, we map out three steps. And the first step is to look in, right? And what we coach people to do is unplug from all the noise and the busyness, leave your phone behind, unplug, find a quiet place, a contemplative place, go for a run or walk, unplug from the chaos of life. And during that time, contemplate a handful of questions. First, starting with, hey, what do I need most? If there was one word that would capture what I need most to be my best, what would it be? What are some things that are in the way? What are some things that probably need to go or need to get refined out of my life? And then once you start answering these questions, words come to mind, because if you learn that, hey, what I really need is X, I need to be brave. I need more courage. I need more peace or patience, whatever those things are. Words start to bubble to the surface in this process. And then what we tell people is to journal them, write them down, put them on paper, let it sit for a couple of days. And then I think in that process, you're asking the question, if there was one single word for the year that I could focus on, that would have the greatest positive impact on who I am as a person and the impact I can have on others, what would it be? And just unplugging long enough, like the discipline of unplugging for people
It's
is
hard.
very hard.
Yes, it
It's
is. Especially
painful.
for people like me who like to multitask.
Oh, yeah. And multitask, the definition of multitasking is just the ability to screw up more than one thing at the same time.
Yeah, and I believe there really isn't such a thing. It's really
No.
sequential, so I know that. But
Yep.
yeah, that's good. So, okay, that makes me actually want to ask. So I didn't pick a word this year, so it's not too late, is it?
No, absolutely not. I mean, you think about it, you've got what, 9 or 10 more months left in the
Yeah,
year.
so I think I'll
Oh,
go through
yeah.
that process. I will do that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I like that. All right, last question on this. If listeners took one step today toward living with more purpose and stronger relationships, what would you encourage them to do?
That's great. One step. I think there's an old proverb that says, consider other people as more important than yourself, considering their needs. And I think relationally, when I can consider the needs of my spouse, of my family as really important, because honestly, Janice, I am, like most people, a desperately selfish person, left to my own devices, to be honest. I think about the things I need to do, what I want, all these things. When you can consider some other people in your life as at least equally important to you, but I would argue even more important, then you walk with some humility. You are always curious about what you can do to make their day. I mean, I heard it said, I watched a couple on social media. I'm not a big fan of social media, but for a number of reasons, but I think it can be helpful. And there was this couple on, they said, what's the secret? You seem so happy. How long have you been married? And they said, oh, we've been married for 40 years. And they were vibrantly healthy and happy and obviously loved each other. And they said, the man said, hey, I woke up in the morning thinking, what's something I can do to make her day? And she said, I do the same thing. I get up and I say, what's something I can do to make my husband's day? And if they're both doing that, boy, that results in an incredible relationship over time. Not
They're
perfect, of
rare
course, but
birds, but yeah,
yeah.
it's beautiful,
But
right?
you think about it, Janice, it's a decision, right?
Yes, it
They're
is.
rare birds only because very few people choose to do it. But all of us could choose to do that. How easy is that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that's very cool. So thank you for those words of wisdom. Before we go, I just want to ask a couple of quick questions. So one is, how do you mostly get your information these days? Do you read it? Do you do it off the internet? Do you listen to it? Do you watch stuff? What's your favorite?
Well, I'm an avid reader,
Okay.
and I read an actual book, right?
Okay.
So studies will show you that you don't remember anything that you read online, very little. In fact, almost all online learning is, I hate to say it, but a waste of time. Most learning has to take place in dimension. So your brain files information according to tactile
Yes.
experience. So you have to have a physical thing. So for me, I read books. I'm reading several books. This part of the thing is I read several books at
Yes.
the same time.
Yes.
I do listen to podcasts and I
Yeah.
take notes from those podcasts of really respected leaders in my life that really that I know are what I would consider ahead of me. Thought leaders, like boy,
Yes.
that or people that communicate so clearly and so simply that I can implement it. And those things, there's one guy in particular, his name is Craig Rochelle. He has a leadership podcast. I think he's one of the world's preeminent communicators. And I listen to his stuff all the time. Always great content. And then I read books from authors who have lived lives that I admire.
Yeah, that's cool. There's so much out there nowadays. I mean, you're inundated, and I think for me, I love books, but I don't read fast enough. I don't sit down and read. I've got to be doing two things at once, or I'll fall asleep or something. I don't know. But I don't know. I watched something. I went downstairs after working yesterday, and I had to go out for dinner. I chose to go out for dinner. It was lovely. But I wasn't feeling well, and I said to my husband, I just want to watch something on TV so I can fall asleep for 5 minutes, right? That's what it does for me when I'm not, doing knitting or doing a puzzle or doing something at the same time. So it worked, but not for very long, but maybe 5 minutes, but it just refreshed me. So that was good. But I'm also a curious person, and so I love to meet new people. I love to talk to new people, and that's, I think, where I'm getting my stimulation, as opposed to trying to read a book that I'll fall asleep in the middle of. But I do love books, and I will get the one word book. I'm definitely going to deal with that in the next little while. So thank you for your insights, and thank you for reminding us that clarity of purpose and strong relationships are powerful forces in both life and business. Where can people find you? I will put it in the show notes, and so they can learn more about you and your one word philosophy and the work that you do.
Yes, easiest way to reach me is at my website. It's beunstoppable.live, all spelled out beunstoppable.live.
Great.
And there's ways to connect with me directly right through the website. And we also have a website called getoneword.com, and that has all things related to the one word process.
GetOneWord.com. Okay, perfect. And thank you to my listeners. And remember that success in business and in life is always built on relationships. So remember to stay connected and be remembered. Thanks for joining us. If today's show inspired you to make a new connection, why not start with me? Head over to LinkedIn and connect with me. Be sure to let me know you are a podcast listener, because I select one listener each month who connects with me on LinkedIn for a complimentary profile audit. And you know I love to meet new people, so I hope you take me up on it. Don't forget to stay connected and be remembered.